Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, and I'm joined by my co-host, as usual, maybe not always, as usual, Landon Mance. Landon, welcome to the program.
Yes. Good morning and good afternoon to some, depending on where they are.
Yeah. So as I mentioned in our last episode, if you happen to listen, this is a new location for Landon. So Landon's coming to us from Boise, Idaho today, where he's just moved and relocated his family. So how's that going for you so far?
Yeah. It's good, man. It's really good. My ongoing joke for the week, which I don't know, we could argue about whether it's funny or not, is, you know, the room behind me is, you know, this is my all white padded room that I've been hanging out in, because obviously I just got here. I don't have any office space or anywhere to go work. So I'm working from an empty bedroom in our house, and it kind of looks like I'm in a, you know, just a big white padded room. So I am. There is padding on the floor, but not on the walls. So that's a good sign. But no, it's been great. Got to meet a couple neighbors and had some beautiful weather already so far, taking the kids outside. And there's this huge grass area right down the street from our house, you know, maybe 200 yards. And a lot of the neighborhood kids kind of congregate there and mess around, play football and sports and run around. So yeah, it's been great so far. Just trying to get settled in and, you know, finish up with all the appointments and all the people coming out, delivering this, setting up that, doing this, doing that. So all in all, it's been great, man.
Good. Well, you and I can catch up on that later. I'm not sure our listeners care as much as I do. So
yeah,
we'll jump into today's topic, but you left just in the nick of time. 96 here today, 99 tomorrow, 101 on Friday. So it is starting to heat up in the desert. So I think you made the move at just the right time. So
yeah.
So today's title is From Growth to Liquidity. And so really what we mean by that is, you know, we're going to talk about the way that business owners view their businesses. I'll get an opportunity to use one of my favorite phrases, I'm sure. And then really the way that business owners should look at their businesses. So, you know, your business really as a business owner should be treated as a part of your financial plan. And we're going to kind of, you know, jump into that and talk a little bit about what we mean by that and why we mean that. And I think innately business owners kind of do think about it that way, because here comes my favorite phrase. A lot of business owners say to me, my business is my retirement plan, right? Now, first of all, retirement plan does not equal financial plan, right? So that's just one part of your financial plan. And most business owners actually don't use the term retirement these days. They use financial independence. So we're going to kind of, you know, jump into a few things about that. So your business obviously generates income to you today, but it's also supposed to be building wealth for you in the long term. So we're going to kind of jump in and talk a little bit about those. But before we kind of jump into some of those topics, Landon, anything else you want to add to kind of that intro there?
Well, if anybody wants to fact check me here, they're welcome to, but because I don't think I've ever said this, but this is probably the most excited I've been for an episode in a while, just because I know how valuable this information is to us, our listeners, and to you and to me as entrepreneurs and investors / operators of SMBs. So I'm pretty pumped to get into this. I really hope that, you know, maybe a couple people walk away from this episode and really kind of dig deep inside and potentially make some changes that could, you know, significantly affect themselves, their families, and their businesses for the long term.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. It's definitely an important topic. I went to an event last night. It was put on by Vistage. It was at the Phoenix Suns Arena. So we got to go to the game. But before that, it was networking with other business owners. It was taking a view of the arena, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I spent close to 2 hours talking to a bunch of different business owners. And it's amazing to me still how many business owners are building really, really great businesses. They're generating really good income for themselves, but they're not quite sure what else to do, right? Like they don't know necessarily what the strategy is. And well, what do you mean? You know, there are certain things that I need to do, or what does exit planning or succession planning even mean? And why do I need that, right? Mm-hmm. And so part of what we'll talk about today is how you build a business that has some transferable value, right? But we'll also, looks like we lost Landon here for a second, but we'll also jump into how do you operate your business in a more efficient manner than you may be operating the business today. So Landon, it looks like you're back. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between an income generating business and an asset that builds wealth, and why growth without an eventual liquidity strategy. So this comes back to another thing that I like to reference a lot is begin with the end in mind, right? So Stephen Covey talks a lot about that, begin with the end in mind. So why is growth without a liquidity strategy risky?
Yeah. So I want to give a quick shout out to our buddy, Ryan Tansom. His podcast is now called Independence by Design, I believe. Ryan shouts from the mountaintops on this topic and does a phenomenal job of it. So if you want some additional insights into this, you can listen to hours and hours and hours of him talking to us and to other folks that he's interviewing on there. But I think the most important thing here in regards to this topic is just around like intentionality, because for a lot of small business owners, at least the ones that we come across, you know, they're making 300, 500,000, a million, 2 million, 3 million. And they are generally spending about the same amount of money as they bring in. They might be saving a very, very small percentage of their income. And so they're essentially just, they're stripping the business of all the potential growth, because they're taking all the profits and they're buying, well, I was going to say they're buying assets, but they're generally not. They're buying material possessions, second and third houses, boats, expensive cars, big trips. And that's fine. That's absolutely their prerogative to do that. But if that's not what you want to do, then you have to be incredibly intentional in how you build up your business balance sheet but also keeping a really close eye on the personal balance sheet. Because as we're going to get into, you know, and as we have mentioned many times on this podcast, the vast majority of small businesses that list for sale are never going to sell, right? So what that means is that if we operate under the assumption that our businesses are not going to sell, well, then we sure as heck better not plan on our business being our retirement plan, right? Because the odds are stacked against us. So we have to ensure that we are being diligent and vigilant, you know, building up our assets, our wealth, our retirement accounts outside of the business, so that we've got a real nice, healthy personal balance sheet, so that if the business ends up selling, fine, great. But if it doesn't, we're not going to be totally dependent upon that to, you know, fund our retirements.
Yeah. It's interesting because we've had this conversation with many business owners over the years, right? Like nobody in their right mind would put 100% of their wealth in Apple stock, right? And if you watched Apple stock over the last week, you might see exactly why you wouldn't do that, right? But business owners don't have that mindset of realizing your business is like owning 100% of your wealth in Apple stock. If you don't diversify and you don't have other assets or investments outside of your business, then that's literally what you're doing. You're putting all of your eggs in one basket. And because business owners have control of that asset, they don't feel that same risk that they feel if they invest in an individual company stock like Apple, right? And so that's the difference, right? Is they don't have that control. And so they don't think that it's as risky, but I'm here to tell you, you should treat it that way, right? There may be less risk overall, or there might be more risk, right? The reality is in most cases, there's probably more risk in having all of your money and all of your investment dollars and all of your net worth in your own business than having it in Apple, right? Because long-term, Apple has performed quite well, even though it has big pullbacks like it's having right now due to tariffs and all the different things that are going on in the market. There's more risk in your personal business. So, you know, one of the things that you like to say a lot, Landon, is we're going to move some of your net worth from your business balance sheet to your personal balance sheet, mm-hmm. right? And there has to be that balance when you're putting that plan together, right? You talked about not stripping everything out, not stripping all of the profits out every year and going and doing things with it that you want to do with it. So it has to be a balance between how do we reinvest smartly to continue to grow this asset or this investment, and how do we take a portion and start to build our personal wealth outside of the business, right? You and I tell business owners all the time, our plan is going to call for you to be completely financially independent outside of the business. So we're going to set a timeline, what you need to be financially independent. We're going to build this much in assets outside of the business. And then we're going to build a business that has a lot of value as well, and hopefully transact on that business in some way, shape, or form, or give you the option to completely gift it to your kids without having to worry about your own financial independence, right? So there's a lot of different ways to build it, but it's all about building your financial independence outside of your business, diversifying and understanding that there's value in being diversified.
Yeah, yep, I love that. So I think that's a good kind of dovetail into talking about building transferable value. Again, Ryan Tansom talks. I mean, he beats this dead horse over and over and over and over. So building transferable value, I mean, what the heck does that even mean? So I'll give my definition of what I think that means, and then you can give yours. We can compare and contrast. So when I think about building transferable value, it is, how do I build my business in a way that if I decide, or when I decide to step away from being at the helm of that business, how difficult is it for somebody else to step in and essentially pick up exactly where I left off without any major roadblocks, without any major kind of hiccups, or without significant transition and training? So that's what I think about when I think about transferable value, right? It's building up something that somebody else can take over and run or operate with a relatively seamless transition. How would you define building transferable value?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you hit a lot of really important points, right? It makes me think of, If I'm looking to buy a business, right? Like this does exist. It's not what exists with most business buyers, but it does exist. And that is the guy who's looking to buy themselves a job, mm-hmm. right? Well, that's different than buying a business that has true value outside of just buying themselves a job or buying themselves an income stream, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's an important way to look at it, and saying most business owners are probably listening and saying, well, yeah, somebody can come take over my business. It's not that hard. I do it, right? but here's the difference is all that knowledge of running the business, mm-hmm. it's right here. It's in their head. That's the only place that it is, right? And so that right there is probably, I don't know that there's statistics or research that shows this, but that's probably the number one reason that most businesses don't transact, is that there are no systems in place. There are no processes in place. There's no SOPs. There's nothing for a new owner or a management team to follow, to do the things the way that you have done them throughout the years, right? And so that's probably the first place that we would say to start, is start to kind of get out of your head what it is that you do day to day and how you would like to see things done. And then start to hire people to do those things. The biggest way to create transferable value is to build an organization that takes you right out of your job, that literally removes you from having a job in that company. That's where the most value comes from, is if the company does not need you at all. You can go on vacation for 6 months and nothing goes wrong with the company that can't be handled by people who are already there. And in a perfect world, that continues to grow during the 6 months that you're gone. That's when you know you have maximum transferable value in your business.
Yeah. All right. So I love that. I agree with everything you said, but the reality is most people that are listening to this, right? Like the SMB community, call it $1 to $20 million a year of revenue. You know, most SMBs just, they're not ever built like that. And so the question is like, why? Why is that? Let's unpack that for a minute. We have worked with dozens of small business owners that have not done that, right? They've got a business that's doing $6, $8, $10, $15 million a year in revenue, and the business is highly, highly dependent on them, right? So they have not done what you just described. And as much as we've tried to coach them on that, to educate them, it just, some business owners, some small business CEOs, most founders, they're just not capable of doing that. And so the question is why, right? Because if you describe that to any small business owner, I mean, every single one of them would raise their hand and say, yeah, I want that. Give me that. How do I get that? How do I go on, you know, you're telling me I can go on vacation for 3 months or 6 months and the business will run like without me? Like, well yeah, that's very possible. But I mean, it's simple. It is certainly not easy, right? Conceptually, it's very simple to do it. In practice, it is extremely difficult to execute on that. And so what we do to help business owners kind of combat that is say, hey, look, here's the reality of the situation. You built this very successful business. It's given you, you know, whatever, $500,000 or $1 million a year of income. You're pretty much in the one percentile from an income standpoint. So how do we basically, again, transfer some of your wealth from your business balance sheet onto your personal balance sheet? Because the reality is that even with our clients, the vast majority of them probably will not sell their businesses, right? Because they're not transferable. So what we do in working with them is to say, okay, well, what we need to do is get really aggressive in our savings and our investment strategy, right? So that if the time comes and you're going to try to sell your business, if that doesn't happen, that you're not going to be so reliant on that. But going back to this kind of building transferable value, it's like, how do we align short-term decisions with long-term value creation? And that is not an easy thing to adopt, because you are kind of making short-term sacrifices, i.e. pulling less money out of the business for yourself, and you are reinvesting that money into the business by hiring new people, buying new equipment, moving into a new facility, upgrading vehicles, whatever you are doing. And that is the kind of stuff that helps to build long-term value, transferable value. But just not everybody has the desire to do that, or we all would do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely takes strategic planning and figuring out what is the best way to do this. And we talked a little bit about this in past episodes when we were talking about tax planning, and the reality is many business owners are letting the tax tail wag the dog, and they've got their CPA saying, well, you got this excess cash. What is it that you need? And they'll go and buy something that they might need, right? But they'll do it just to be able to offset the taxes. And once they've done that, that cash is gone and they can't deploy it in any other fashion. So rather than making a decision based on saving taxes today, make a decision based on what's going to make my business operate more efficiently and what's going to make my business build long-term value, right? That's where your decision-making should be coming from. So even though you're making a short-term decision that may be whatever, do we take on this client? Do we buy this piece of equipment? Do we hire this person? Do we do, you know, whatever? That's a short-term decision for the most part, but it has long-term consequences. Mm-hmm. And so you always have to kind of look at the decision through that lens, is what's this going to do for building value in the business long-term? And is it the right decision? And then, like you said, it's, am I spending that money in the business? Or right now, is that money better spent by me taking a distribution and moving that to my personal balance sheet? Mm-hmm. Because I've got to balance that building of personal wealth outside of the business.
Yep. All right. So as we come up to the last five or so minutes of this episode, let's try to translate what we've been discussing into kind of exit value, kind of like liquidity and exit planning options, and how what we've talked about equates to higher value or valuation when it comes time for some kind of a transaction. So first and foremost, let's just set the stage for some kind of different paths to liquidity. So we see this a lot, an internal transition. So we've got Bob and Sally Smith, founders of ABC Roofing Company, and they've got a daughter that's in the business. You know, she's the operations manager. She understands the business very well. She's been working in the business for 5, 10, 20 years. Mom and dad are ready to retire and they want to keep this business in the family. So a family internal transition takes place. This can also happen with other business partners. We've facilitated partner buyouts before where we've got three partners. One of the partners wants to get out, do his own thing, wants to retire, wants to move. And so other partners buy you out. And then another form of internal transition, which is a really cool one, is an employee transition. So there's a couple of different ways that you can do that. A really common way is an ESOP. So you essentially are selling the business to the employees through a relatively complex transaction. And there's things that have to be in place. You've got to have a really strong management team. Company's got to have generally a minimum of 20 to 30 employees. And there's got to be some good structure to the company. But an ESOP is a really, really cool way to realize wealth for you as the risk taker, as the founder, as the operator, but also give an opportunity to your employees to build some great wealth. And it also aligns employees really well with long-term value creation. Then of course we've got like a third party sale. So you have been running your business for 25 years, let's say $1 million or $2 million of profit, and you want to sell your business. Well, you can hire an intermediary, AKA a broker, and you can bring your business out to market and hopefully find a suitor that way. You can do a recapitalization. So you can bring in an investor. So that generally that's going to be private equity. So they come in, they make an investment into your business. You continue to run and grow it kind of alongside them as a partner. So those are kind of the top kind of paths to liquidity. But Austin, let's talk about a third party sale, because the vast majority of small businesses are going to sell to a third party. So let's talk about like the difference in let's use $1 million of profit for two different businesses. Business one is a typical SMB owner operator, heavily reliant on the owner. A lot of the big relationships lie with the owner. Big decision-making lives with the owner. And that business takes itself out to sell to a third party. Business two, same business, $1 million of profit, but this business has maybe a president or a general manager that runs a significant amount of the day-to-day. Maybe they've got a controller or somebody that helps kind of manage the financials of the business. The big relationships don't lie with the owner. They've got a dedicated sales team, and everybody doesn't report up to this owner operator. Austin, like what would be the potential difference in value of these two businesses?
Massive. I mean, that's the first word that comes to mind. I mean, I would say that at a minimum, the second business is worth double what the first business is worth. I mean, just being able to step in and have the business continue to run as is without a day-to-day leadership need, because that leadership team is already there, makes the business worth a massive amount more than the first business, right? Because again, most buyers, specifically on the private equity side, are not looking to buy a job, right? Businesses are transacted based on, or sold, and the value of those businesses are based on future cash flow, right? So you're buying it based on the fact that this is going to continue to generate what it generated before. Mm-hmm. And then some of the things that I'm going to do to bring different things to the table are going to increase that. So that's why I'm buying it, right? So you look at the history, here's what it did, here's what it can do into the future, and here's what I'm going to have to input into that. And if one of those inputs is day-to-day running of that business without the innate knowledge, right, the tribal knowledge of having run that business for as long as the previous owner ran it, that's an additional risk that I'm taking on. And so the value drops significantly if that's the case, you know, the way that you described the first business. But I do want to point out real quick that most of the businesses, most SMBs, don't go through a third party sale. They go through a family transition or a partner buyout. That's more common than a third party sale. But if it's going to be an outside transaction, you're right, it's a third party sale. Just wanted to clarify that point.
Yeah. All right. So as we come up on time here, we got one more kind of point we want to cover, which is integrating business value into your personal wealth planning. We've kind of already touched on this a bit, so I'm not going to go into depth here, but diversifying your wealth outside of your business, that term gets thrown around a lot, diversification. And I think that if you don't have a personal wealth team that is helping you with that, I think it's pretty difficult to actually accomplish that, like true diversification. So we're talking about investment accounts, real estate, whether you buy it and own it personally, or you invest into a fund or a syndication. We've got employer retirement plans. We've got commodities. We've got bonds. We've got, you know, all kinds of different stuff. And, you know, it does vary from person to person whether you're going to have money in each and every bucket. But the way to truly diversify your wealth is to have a pie that's got, you know, several different slices of that pie, and you've got money in several different buckets, right? Stocks, bonds, real estate, businesses, commodities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But finding that right mix, that's what a good financial planning, a wealth management team is going to do, is they're going to help define that right mix for you, because the right mix for you is not necessarily the right mix for your neighbor or your buddies at the country club or the people that you play golf with, right? Because it's just not the same for any one person. Another way, or another kind of consideration, is around risk management, using insurance to protect what you have built. And generally the biggest thing that you've built is you always talk about this, Austin, your ability to earn an income. Because if you are disabled or you pass away and you no longer can earn the income that you are used to earning, how is that going to impact your family, right? So you got to protect that stuff that you have spent many, 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 many years or decades building. And then the last point is just around kind of estate and legacy planning, not just for business continuity purposes, but also for asset protection for your family, combating taxes, things of that nature. So I'll throw it back to you, Austin, wrap up with any closing thoughts, and then we'll talk about what we're doing next.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there. There's so many aspects to a financial life of a business owner. And we've said this in the past. We're not advocating that you should hire us. We'd love it if you did and it were the right fit. We'd be happy to talk to anybody about that. But business owners need to be working with financial advisors that understand business owners and that understand business and how that integrates into their overall wealth plan, more than just what's your business worth? Okay, great. And writing down the value of the business. That is not integrating your business into your wealth plan. So it needs to be more than that. So I other than that, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. So maybe I just say, where do we go from here, right? So a good question for anybody to ask is, if I sold my business tomorrow, would I be financially secure, right? And the question is, are you giving yourself the true value of the business, or do you know the true value of your business? So knowing that is point number one. And then if you know that value, would it be enough, right? If you sold it tomorrow, would you be financially secure, coupled with everything else that you have? And then a good next step would be to download our exit planning readiness checklist. So there's a link in the show notes here. There's a link here on the screen that you can kind of check that out. And then if you do want to talk further, reach out for a consultation and we can talk about how you integrate your business and financial plans together. Because like we've mentioned, it's your life is so much different as a business owner than the guy who works at Intel as an employee and is building for their own financial independence. It's just a very different scenario. There are some overlaps, right? But it's a very different scenario as a business owner. And you need to make sure that you're working with advisors, not just financial advisors, CPA, tax or legal advisors, all those types of people who have business background and understand what it means to work with business owners and how to protect their assets differently than an advisor who works with the masses, so to speak. So love to talk to you about any of that. Our next episode coming up, which is also a good one, is strategic debt. Right? So scaling without sacrificing control. I've had this conversation recently with some of our business owner clients, and understanding how to take on debt, when it's the right opportunity to do so, how much debt's okay, should I buy a building rather than leasing the space that I need? All those types of things are important decisions for business owners, and not something that gets a lot of notoriety, so to speak, or knowledge inside the business owner's head. So look forward to that episode as well. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Appreciate y'all listening. And we'll see you on, I think it was April 22nd, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. All right. We'll go with April 22nd. All right. Appreciate everybody joining, and to your success.
Have a good one.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying and selling small businesses.
This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests, have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.